Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Delivering the word today, Pastor Joshua is a dear friend, pastored and planted many churches, both in the Philippines and in Penang, Malaysia, the church there where our brother David Lim, his dad is now pastoring, was planted by Pastor Joshua and Ida. And so we're really excited to have them come and pour into us today. So again, can we give a roarous applause for Pastor Joshua as he comes?
Thank you, Pastor Nelly. Good morning. Good morning. First, I just want to say I'm so glad to be here. And so I'm just so glad to be here. Pastor Nelly, Tina, I just want to honor you for a great job here in Brisbane and really here in the region. How many love Pastor Nelly? I just love the worship. Of course, Tina. Where's Tina? Tina's gone. But anyway, she's working. And Pastor Nelly, thank you so much for everything that you do. And you are truly an inspiration. And just last week, experiencing the worship that you bring really encourages us. But anyway, my wife is here also. Ids, can you please stand and wave and show yourself? And this is my beautiful wife of 32 years. Praise God. Are you guys ready for the word today? It's kind of funny because I came in here. I'm used to coming in, you know, having the worship and all that. But I guess you guys had the praise first and then, you know, you do the worship right after the preaching. I believe that is good. But I get disoriented actually just coming here. But anyway, are you guys ready for the word? Okay, so if you have your Bibles, I'd like us all to open our Bibles to Judges chapter 6. We're going to look at one of my heroes in the Bible. His name is Gideon. Really love this guy. And we're going to be reading out of Judges chapter 6, verses 11 to 14. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" Let's bow and pray. Father, Lord, I ask you, Lord God, to come and visit us this morning. Help me as I speak your word today. Open the scriptures to us, Lord. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would move in a mighty way today. What I would miss in my words, I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would minister into our hearts. And we just give you all glory and all praise in the name of Jesus. And everybody say amen. Amen. Judges is a really interesting book. If you get to read Judges, the book of Judges is actually a book about leadership and about heroes in the Bible. God used 12 individuals in the book of Judges to basically cause a revival in the hearts of the people of God. You find a pattern in the book of Judges where the people of God would sin, and then God would raise up a prophet or a judge to basically cause revival, and they would return. And then right after that, after a few years, they would go back into sin again. So you find a cycle of the Jews just sinning, crying out to God, and God sends a deliverer. So at this particular time, God raised up a man by the name of Gideon. And in this particular case, specific case, the Midianites were really oppressing the people of God. The Midianites were coming in and basically destroying all the livestock of the people of God. They destroy the cattle, the donkeys, just everything. And they would actually destroy all the crops as well of the people of God. And the Midianites would actually bring their own flocks, and there would be so many of them that it literally oppressed the people of God that you could not even count the Midianites in this place. So in the midst of all of this, when they cry out, God responded by sending a prophet, unnamed prophet, and basically encouraged them and told them and reminded them that God himself was the one that delivered them out of Egypt. But because of the hardening of your hearts, the reason why you are where you are right now is because of your sin. So God responds to them by sending a prophet. And then an angel of the Lord comes to a man by the name of Gideon and gives him a very, very uncomfortable or uneasy greeting. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. How many here would like an angel of the Lord to appear to you? Anybody here? So an angel of the Lord appears to him, and he tells him, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Did anybody ever come to you and kind of complimented you, but you felt awkward after that compliment? Anybody here? Did anybody ever kind of tell you, "Hey, mighty warrior"? How many here sometimes feel uncomfortable every time people would say something good about us? Sometimes when I prophesy over people, especially when you say something nice about them, when you tell them, "God's going to do great things for you, you're going to prosper," sometimes people feel uneasy because they feel like, is that really true? You know, in the Philippines, we have a habit of complimenting people in a way that's opposite. You know, it's like when we see somebody who's kind of, or let me just say this, if we have a dog, let's say if our dog is big, we would call our dog Tiny. And if we have really a small dog, a tiny dog, we'd actually name our dogs Jabbar or Shaquille. So the funny thing about the Philippines, there's a way of complimenting people. But sometimes we feel uncomfortable every time, I feel uncomfortable every time Pastor Jim comes to me and tells me, "Hey, Holy Jojo." And then sometimes we would be in the car and Pastor Jim would actually sing a song and use my name. Jojo, 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 Jojo. There are times that I would say, "Pastor Jim, shut up. You know, I don't hear that." Then he would say, "Holy Jojo, champ, you're great." And I feel uncomfortable many times. Why? Because I believe so much negativity about myself. And many times when God speaks to us a good word, we just can't believe it. Because people told you that you can't do this, you're that, you're this. People make conclusions about you. And that's why sometimes when people says great things about us, we feel uncomfortable. I remember in high school, graduation, people would make predictions about what you'll be. I had three friends. I had one who was a class president, and everybody predicted that he was going to be, you know, he's going to be rich. I had another friend, his name is Dominic, who used to be the lead singer of Tropical Depression. I don't know if you know him. His name's Dominic Gamboa. Passed away about 2 years ago. And everybody predicted that he was going to be a star, superstar. But when it came to me, "Oh, Henson, oh, that guy, he's probably going to have many kids, all by different women." And he said, "Oh, he's going to be in jail because of drugs." So that was their prediction. Can you imagine? That was their prediction of me. And that was the time I did not know the Lord. So in my mind, maybe that's, you know, I didn't do good in school. I got kicked out. But guess what? I met the Lord. I got saved. I got born again. My life radically transformed. And there was one time, to show you how people really are shocked when they find out how God changed me. There was one time I was doing a one-to-one with Lucci's band, the Passage Band. And I would go to the hotel called Shangri-La, and there's a bar there called Conway's Bar. So the only time I can actually meet with them was during their break. And their break is usually about 12:30 a.m. or 1 a.m. So I would be sitting there waiting at the bar and just waiting for their break so that I can do their one-to-one. While waiting, a waiter came up to me and basically asked me, "Sir, are you alone?" I said, "Yes." "And are you Mr. Henson?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Who's asking?" "Sir, there's people there in the back, in the private room. They're asking who you are." "Oh, okay. Yeah, Mr. Henson, that's me." So he leaves. And then after a few minutes, the waiter comes back with a bottle of beer. San Miguel, puts it there right next to me. And I go, "From who?" "Sir, that room back there, they bought that beer for you." So I stood up. I was kind of curious. So I stood up and went to that private room. And lo and behold, my old classmates were there. And they were there. Of course, when you see old classmates, what do? You exchange calling cards, right? So they give me their calling cards. And in their calling cards, it says executive, vice president, president. I mean, they have all these titles in their calling card. I got my calling card that says Victory Christian Fellowship. Pastor. So I kid you not, for probably about 10 seconds or 15 seconds, they were looking at that calling card. It was quiet. And then all of a sudden, they all started laughing. They started, "Wow!" They were all laughing. And then they go, "Henson," of course, in Tagalog, "Henson, what racket are you in today?" They're asking me, Hanson, offering good, you know? Is the offering good? Can I partner with you? They could not believe. They could not believe that I'm a pastor. So when the angel of the Lord came to Gideon, basically told them, you're a mighty warrior. I actually entitled this message, of course, in the Philippines, we Filipinos love saying hui. Ever say hui? So I entitled it, hui, warrior. So turn to your neighbor and say, hui, warrior. When I was making this, I was thinking maybe changing it to hey, warrior, because we're more, you know, but since I'm Pinoy, so might as well use the word hui. Conquering negativity about ourselves is the first step to conquering. Let me say that again. Conquering negativity about ourselves is the first step to conquering. But after that compliment, after that word, after that affirmation, Gideon speaks to the angel in verse 13. He said, pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied. But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders and that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. So Gideon basically responded by saying, Lord, if you are with me, what happened? He had asked the question, why things are happening? Where is the Lord? And made conclusions. And basically, the conclusion for him was, the Lord has abandoned us. How many here sometimes you go through life, you go through situations, and you make conclusions about God? And say, Lord, if you're here, why did you allow this? Of course, the context of this story, because the people of God were sinning, that's the reason why they got into their predicament. But all of us go through life, and many times we make the same conclusions and say, God, what's happening? If you are with me, then why are you allowing all of this? I make a conclusion, you abandoned us. The funny thing about all this, God hears it, but God never changed his view of Gideon. He never kind of, how many sometimes you say something and you feel like you want to take it back? You say, oh, you're this, you're that, oh, you're so generous. And then later on, you find his life. And sometimes you feel like you want to take back what you said. God is not like that. In the midst of his complaining, in the midst of all his doubts, God doesn't remove, excuse me, you're not a mighty warrior anymore. You see, it takes faith for us to see ourselves the way God sees us. The funny thing about this, the Lord responds to him. Anybody here ever pray to the Lord and sometimes you feel like the Lord doesn't answer you directly? How many here sometimes you feel that the Lord ignores you? And the Lord turned to him after all this complaining. Lord, why? Why? Lord, you abandoned us. And then the Lord turned to him in verse 14 and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? He says, go. Turn to your neighbor and say, go. You see, when God calls us or commissions us to do great things for him, he doesn't look at our present situation. He sees what we can actually do. Which brings me to my second point. It takes faith to do what God has called us to do. The Lord is with you, he says. The angel says. And then Gideon complains again. He said, pardon me, my Lord. In verse 15, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. You see, God's strength is not dependent on our family background. God's strength is not dependent on our weakness. God's strength is not dependent on what we know. God's strength lies in the fact that God is with us. When the angel said, the Lord is with you, did you know that God with us is our very strength? God is with you, and that is our strength. I like the promise of God when he says, I'm with you. If you actually find those phrases, God with you, I'm with you, every time he promises his presence upon us, it is almost always attached to an assignment. And sometimes I believe the presence of God. I love it when Pastor Nelly worships God. We receive the presence of God. I love that. But every time God uses that phrase, I'm with you, I will never leave you, it is almost attached to an assignment or a mission. And so when the angel said, I'm with you, Gideon had a mission. And it takes faith to do what God has called us to do. And then later on, I don't have time to read this, the whole story. So he was having this conversation with an angel, and then he finds out that it wasn't just an angel that he was talking to. He was talking to God himself. And he was afraid. He said that he might die. But the Lord said to him in verse 23, but the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it peace to this day. What happened to Gideon? He actually experienced the grace of God. He had an encounter with God. He encounters the holiness of God. He also encounters the forgiveness of God. Because he knew that if I could, I see God face to face, I'd be dead. But God said, no. Peace. And he called that place peace. You see, our encounters with God prepares us for the future. Our encounters with God actually prepares us or emboldens us to face our greatest fears. Because right after that, because the Lord begins to tell him, I want you to smash the idols of your father. Anybody here, sometimes you feel like God's telling you to do something scary? So God tells Gideon to go to your father's house. I want you to smash every idol that's in that house. And Gideon was afraid. And he was afraid. So what he does, he calls some of his servants, join me. And they did it at night. Because he was terrified. He was still, how many sometimes know that when you obey God, it's still scary? So he obeys God. He comes in at night and smashes the idols. And then when the people of the town actually woke up, they found all the idols. By the way, please don't do that when you go home. Don't smash the idols here. That was his journey. So whatever journey that you have, obey God. And many times when God tells you, it's scary. So he smashes all these idols. The town wakes up. And the town, they were so angry, calls the father and tell the father, better give us your son. We need to kill him. He destroyed the idols of our land. And guess what? The father actually defends his son. The father said, if Baal is really God, then Baal can defend himself, right? So they changed his name to Jerubbaal. Basically meaning that Baal will contend with him. Baal would just deal with him. Can you imagine? The father defends him. You see, when God has called you to do something, do not be afraid, because God's going to back you up. It takes faith to do what God has called us to do. Now, we really don't have time to really look at Judges 7. But we all know the story in Judges 7. Gideon had an army. The Midianites had about 135,000 warriors. Can you imagine that? That's a lot of people. 135,000 Midianites. Gideon, he was trying to rally his army, and he had about 35,000 of them. How many of that's a mismatch? And God says to him, the number you have is too many. Maybe Gideon said, Lord, do you know how to count? 135, 32,000 men. Lord, do you know how to count? And God said, you have too many. And then he said, I want you to go to church and tell the church that all those that are afraid, you can go home now. So he goes to church and tells them, everybody that's fearful today, you can actually go home now. And 22,000 of them went home. How many here would be so encouraged to have a church plant and tell them, okay, for those of you that don't want to join us, just go home. And everybody leaves. 22,000 of them goes home and 10,000 remain. And then, you know, after that incident, God said, that's too many. You see, his ways, his thoughts are different than ours. And he said, I want to test them again. I want to test them. It's funny. I want to watch how they drink water. Maybe some of you are looking at me. It's really, yeah, it's in Judges 7. You can read it. I don't have time to look at that. But they were tested with the way they drank water. Those that lap like a dog versus those that drank using their hands. Hey, guess what? 300 used their hands to drink water. And then God said, yes, I will use 300. 135,000 versus 300. How many know that's crazy? You will never find a military book on strategy on how to defeat the enemy. Just have 300 men. And God said, use them. You see, there's nothing magical about that number 300. There's nothing superstitious about 300. It was just the number that God said, this is the number that I will use to defeat the Midianites. You see, God wanted to show his power and might. God wants to show off that He can do it. His ways are higher than ours. And many times we just have to trust Him. Now at this time, Gideon was still afraid. And God said, I want you to go to the camp. Bring one of your servants, go to the camp. And I want you to hear what they're saying. Maybe in translation, I want you to go bring a friend, go to the bar. It's my paraphrase version. Go to the bar and listen to what they're talking about. So he was still afraid, okay, because Gideon was a little bit afraid to still, you know, go there, confront the Midianites. So he goes to the bar, he goes to the town. And he sits there with his servant and he overhears a conversation. And this guy had a dream, this conversation. He said, I had a dream that the loaf of bread came tumbling down the camp and destroyed the whole army, our whole army. And one of the guys, you know, I think the interpretation of that is a sword of Gideon. The interpretation of that, how that's a sword of Gideon. Oh, we're doomed. So he heard that story. He was so encouraged. He said, man, that's from the Lord. And then he went back. And start having that sense of encouragement and courage. And then he goes. The funny thing about it, I remember Gideon's a warrior, right? God said, you're a warrior. The funny thing about it, he didn't even have a sword. All he had was a trumpet and a jar. And sometimes you think, warrior, I have to be this. He just had a trumpet and a jar. That's all he had. So he went there and fought, and just basically, when the signal, just blow the trumpet and break the jar and shout. That's all they did. That's the warrior for you, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, we all know the story. The Lord caused confusion in the enemy's camp. And Gideon and his army started pursuing the Midianites. And there was victory. Really a short message. But I really believe that God is speaking to us this morning. We have to learn to accept what God says about us. Not what people say, not what our parents said, not what our past said about us, but believe what God says about who we are. Turn to him and say, hey, warrior. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Say, hui, warrior. And secondly, we have to understand that our strength lies in the fact that God is with us. He will never leave you, He will never forsake you, and that His ways are better than ours. Trust Him.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.